You were saying something about best intentions. What's the matter? Oh, you were finished. Oh, well, allow me to retort. What does Marcellus Wallace look like?
What?
What country you from?
What?
What ain't no country I ever heard of. They speak English and what? Describe what Marcellus Wallace looks like.
What?
Say what again? Say what again? I dare you.
the movies, Maeve, for you, the films, which ones in particular stand out for you?
Well, you see, I have this disadvantage that I was in love with Marlon Brando. It wasn't a question of a crush, you understand, or being a fan. I was in love with him. And I used to have a shilling pocket money a week when I was about 15, 16, 17. And I used to spend most of the shilling on a stamp to write to him and tell him that Movita was wrong for him, and whatever Tahitian beauty was wrong, and to ask him, would he come over to Ireland and I would look after him.
Did you? You did write to him, did
I
you?
I wrote to him every week.
Did you?
And I used to get the same letter back, a brooding picture of Marlon on a motorbike from the Wild Ones,
yeah,
with his hat pulled down over his face,
yeah,
saying, Marlon, thanks you for being a member of his fan club. I wasn't a member of his fan club. I was proposing a new and wonderful lifestyle for him, which the man was not understanding at all. So I obviously remember, I could have told you off by heart every line of On the Waterfront.
Could you?
Oh, God, from, you know, I was a, could have been a contender, and all the rest of it. And, oh, he used to hold her, when he held Eva Maria Saint's hand, and the rest of it, as the pangs of jealousy from the cinema seat there, they rose up into the air, and she put her hand in his once, and I thought this was so awful, because she put her hand, and she had a small hand, and his hand was big, and I was thinking, when I meet Marlon, when he eventually comes to Dorky, when he gets around to reading my letters, and comes to live with me in Dorky, how I was going to explain it to my parents never even crossed my mind.
Was it a sort of a sexual awakening for you, Maeve, do you think?
I didn't realise it, because I was so innocent and stupid, and when I used to see him all sweating in Streetcar Named Desire, you know, with that vest stuck to his body, glistening. God, I'm having bad thoughts even thinking about it now. I didn't know that was sex, really, because I knew so little,
yeah,
about anything. But it was desire. I wanted him. And I thought I wanted to clean him up and give him a nice suit and give him a good meal and look after him and hold his hand and take him down Dunleary Pier. But that wasn't, I suppose, what I wanted at all, had I thought the whole thing through. And amazingly, he never came to see me. And he did come to Ireland shortly before he died. He came to Ireland, he was making a film, do you remember, in West Cork?
Yes.
And then the money ran out, I think, or
yes,
something on the film.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, I wonder would I go and see. We were both too old and mad to do anything about it. But I never got to see him, which I was disappointed.
And these kind of characters, Shane, I suppose, I'm just thinking, going back to that era, you'd have had the James Dean as well, who I assume for a lot of teenagers was someone similar to Catherine the Rye, that they felt that they could associate with in a way, because he was another disaffected youth.
And, oh, yeah, yes, and he was so brave.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were allowed kind of be broody like him. He gave us license to kind of be moody and go off a walk by ourselves down by the sea. And I love that film. I saw it about six times. And when he walked
this
by the house and Mimi Van Doren pulled back the curtain and looked at and watched him going down the street. Dean had definitely had something that was an extraordinary kind of combustible attraction for both sexes, a bit like Elvis. The guys wanted to be him and the women wanted to have him.
Yeah. The senses. Oh, I think we have. Do we have it? We have a clip here of Rebel Without a Cause. One of the key scenes in it. Take a listen.
What's the matter with you, anyhow?
He's just loaded, honey.
I was talking to Jim.
Well, I'd like to just explain. You see, we just moved here. You understand? And the kid hasn't got any friends. You understand?
Hey, well,
and
we moved into it.
Will you hold it, Jim?
Tell the man why we moved here.
Will you hold it?
But you can't protect me.
Do you mind if I try? Do you have to slam the door in my face? I try to get to him. What happens? Don't I buy everything you want? A bicycle? You get a bicycle. A car?
You buy me many things.
No. Well, not just buy. We give you love and affection, don't we? Well, then what is it? Was it because we went to that party? Well, you know what kind of drunken brawls those kind of parties turn into. It's not a place for kids.
A minute ago, you said you didn't care if he drinks.
He said, a little drink.
You're tearing me apart!
What?
You say one thing, he says another, and everybody changes back again!
That's a fine way to behave.
Well, you know who he takes after.
Yeah, he takes after. You're tearing me apart.
I remember my own rite of passage on drinking the first time I went home drunk. My mother and father were at the front door seeing my brother-in-law off, and he was saying, oh, look, he's drunk, he's drunk. I was saying, shh. And I went in and decided I'd brazen it out, and I sat in the piano stool and involuntarily played a chord with my elbow, and that was the jig was up. My mother said, I think he's drunk. You'd better go to bed.
and that was it.
And I got a bag of broken biscuits and the dog, and I said, come on, we're off to bed.
Maeve Evelyn has been on to say, Maeve Binchy was the coming of age literature. I was often caught reading her books behind a school book or under the desk, and it was pure addiction as a teen for me. Lots of people have been on to say On the Road by Jack Kerouac, a must to read to open your eyes on growing up. Jack Kerouac, did you go through the phase, Owen?
Yeah, oh, big time. I wouldn't even consider myself out of that phase. On the Road is, I mean, for the first 50 pages or so, because that kind of hipster slang was really outdated by the time I read it, and because Dean Moriarty, who's supposed to be the hero, is actually quite a dislikable person, for about the first 50 pages it really irritated me, and then suddenly I was hypnotized by it, and I read the rest, a bit like, I suppose like any book that you really get into, I read it in an incredibly short amount of time, like maybe in a day or something like that. And all the people that are with him, Ginsberg as well, Howell is still something that I would read regularly, America, Supermarket in California, all of those things, and Kerouac, loads of his stuff, although it gets pretty depressing. He's got one book, Big Sur, which, it's more got to do with the age that you would read it at, and yeah. I read On the Road just before I went over to America on a J1 as a teenager, so I read it, you know, just before then. So
I was going to say, you were in 13
at
the
time. I thought we were
going to
be stealing cars, you know, and stuff. We ended up working for $6.50 an hour in a 7-Eleven, you know, not quite as exciting.
Brilliant. Listen, we're going to leave it there. Thanks a million to Owen Butler, their freelance journalist, also to songwriter Shay Healy and author Maeve Binchy. To the listeners, I'll come back to all your comments. I know lots of you have been on with your different memories of films and books and gigs and songs and that, and keep them coming in to us. 52106 is the text line number, or 1-894-53-106 the comment line number. Dilemma Doctors are with us after past 11. This is Life on News.